You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Good morning. Welcome to Mission of Love. I'm Jim Dish with the Office of Radio and Television, and I'm here with Jen Delvaux from the Office of Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Yeah. Well,
I hope traffic is doing well out there. We're waiting for Beth White to arrive.
Right. You never know.
And a very special guest, and we'll surprise people when she shows up with
definitely,
who that is.
Definitely.
Yeah. In the meantime, tell me what's going on off over at the Meyer Center in your office. We've been chatting offline before the show, and it sounds like you're a very busy person.
It seems like everyone is, especially all those who are working with the Renew My Church process. We're just a few months into working with some of the parishes that went through that first wave with some of the structural changes and working with them to help establish that new reality and take those first steps into growing as vital parish communities. One of the projects that we're just launching is working with a cohort of individuals that pastors and staff selected to be the evangelization leads. So these are individuals who the pastors and the core leadership group that they work with really feel can help be the advocate and the person that makes evangelization happen in their parish. And not just in an evangelization program, but that culture shift, because that's one of the biggest problems. We think, you know, we get a program and we're good to go. But these leads and then the leadership team that they build to work with them are really going to look at not only, yes, what programs are useful, but how do we start that culture shift that can change the dynamic of our parish and make us a welcoming, hospitable, and vital parish community.
Tell us about the importance of lay people in this movement, because that really seems to be key right now. There aren't enough pastors to go around
exactly, and
to do all the work. So the importance of lay people.
Well, particularly with evangelization, the role of lay people, both staff, volunteers, and, you know, your average Jane and Joe Pugh are absolutely crucial because, you know, our apostolate is in the world. We're called to be present in the world, and the opportunities that we have to have those conversations with our neighbors when we take out the trash at night or when you're sitting next to somebody on the subway and you daringly talk to them, that there's all these different opportunities that we have to just talk about who we are and what's going on in our lives. And that often serves as the chance to invite them to our parish community or to what we have going on as we shift that culture of evangelization.
Down to basics. A lot of people confuse evangelization with catechesis.
Right.
And that, what that means for the grassroots Catholic and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
work through that. You know, don't do the hour speech on that.
Okay,
give us the short story on that.
So those are two big words that probably your average person doesn't even use on a daily, if even monthly basis. But evangelization is the chance that we have to share the good news of Jesus, who he is, what he's doing in our lives. And we do that by explicitly stating how he's at work in our lives and how he has saved us. But it's also the works that we do, you know, kind of that nice or the service and the works of mercy and justice that we are called to do. catechesis is what happens next, because with the kerygma, which is that fancy word for basically saying Jesus loves you, died for you, and we have hope of salvation, after that, a person has to decide what impact that is going to have in their lives, because we have a choice. We have free will. What happens after you decide, okay, there's something about this message that's meaningful to me, that at that point, then you want to grow in relationship. You know, it's just like when you meet somebody for the first time, you maybe have that cup of coffee and you're like, okay, there's something there. I'm a little more curious. It's not a relationship yet. It's a cup of coffee. That then when you make that decision, okay, I'm going to prioritize, I'm going to make time in my schedule, that's when it turns into catechesis and you start learning about God and you start deepening that relationship, deepening your prayer life. But you have to first make that decision to enter into that relationship. Oftentimes, the kerygma is talked about in catechesis. Often, evangelization has to happen within catechesis. We can't assume those individuals, be they kids or adults, that show up to our parishes for catechetical events and ministries are already evangelized. So that's part of the confusion, is that we have to evangelize within catechesis, but that evangelization and the preaching, the kerygma, is something separate also.
You're working in a world of evangelization. Mm-hmm. That's your challenge. That's your mission. You're doing it during a time of Renew My Church, when mm-hmm. there's a lot of restructuring mm-hmm. going on. What are the challenges that you have to work through?
I think there's a lot of people who understandably think that Renew My Church is all about closing and combining churches. It's about a priest shortage. It's about all of those financial and practical troubles. And to an element, yes, we can't deny that is a concern. But the also a huge part of it is remembering that people are walking away from the church. People don't have God present in their lives. And the fact is, if we think that God is as important as we think he is, if we see this message of who Jesus is and his work in the world is as important as it is, then shouldn't that be our primary goal? Shouldn't we go back to who we are as church and that mission to go and make disciples? That's who we are, who we're called to be, and what we're called to do. And this Renew My Church process, I think, is a huge opportunity for us to return to that and to prioritize that. Because I know it often gets forgotten because we can get so caught up. I mean, I spent about 12, 13 years in parish ministry, and you get kind of in that pattern of you've got this program, and then when that season ends, then you've got that. And, oh, wait, let's not forget about our CIA and children's confirmation, that we forget to who we are. And with this, it's reminding us of that, and it's helping us to figure out how can we also reach those people who haven't heard who God is. You know, there's I work with RCI candidates and catechumens for some time, and what always astounded me when they came in for kind of those intake interview conversations was how little they knew about who God was and his story. That I had someone with several postdoctorate degrees ask me, okay, I think I know who Jesus is, but who's Christ? And so we make assumptions, I think, in our churches that we're operating with a certain baseline. And particularly when we come in to help in that revitalization with evangelization, is helping people remember that we really have to go back to basics with a lot of this and really have to find those shallow entry points to help parishes reach those in their community who really don't know Christian lingo anymore, even, or have any experience of Christianity.
You know, I guess you could look at Renew My Church is something that works to the advantage of evangelization, mm-hmm. if done in the right way.
Right. And I think the challenge is there's so much that happens for a parish as they go through this process that they want to go back to comfort zones. And that's understandable. We're creatures of habit as humans. And so we do want to rely upon a program to solve everything, or we do want to go back to what we know works. And so this reimagining and challenging ourselves to venture into the deep is something that can make us very uncomfortable, but it can be very, very fruitful.
Jen, we're going to take a break right now. I think the guest of the day has arrived.
Wonderful.
So we thank our listeners to listening to Mission of Love. Stick around. We'll be back with our special guest right after this break.
Until the end of the world. Hi, my name is Craig. I was homeless for 2 years. Then I met Miss Ramona, a case manager at Catholic Charities. She found a place for me to live and is helping me with a resume and finding a job. I feel safe and away from the gun violence I know too well, having been a victim of it. The more I meet with Catholic Charities, the better I feel. They have changed my life. They're called Chicago's Good Samaritans, but to me, they are turnaround experts. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Zupich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
Cardinal Blaise Zupich tells us about the recent retreat for bishops at Mundelein Seminary. Sister Mary Jo's video of throwing out the first pitch at a White Sox game goes viral. Now she's using her social media fame to spread the gospel. And as part of our Catholic Schools Week edition, we profile a St. Richard's second grade teacher who still loves her job after 50 years.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
Cardinal Blaise Zupich speaks on behalf of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Now more than ever, it is important that we as a society recognize how poverty and injustice strip away human dignity. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development works with nonprofits, both faith-based and secular, to provide the vital support needed to promote systemic change in our communities.
To find out more about CCHD and to contribute, go to archchicago.org and click on Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Please join me as we work together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to fight poverty and ensure that everyone, especially those who live on the margins of society, participates in decisions that affect their lives, families, and communities. Now more than ever, we need the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
On a mission of love, I send you out.
I send you out.
On a mission of love, I send you out.
I send you out.
On a mission of love.
Good morning. This is Jen Delvo from the Office for Evangelization, and I'm excited to be here with our guest, a coworker from the Department for Parish Vitality and Mission, Valerie Jennings. Valerie, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I am well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Good.
So Valerie is one of our Parish Vitality coordinators. We've had a few on in past months, but we wanted to invite Valerie today to talk a little bit about the Renew My Church process and evangelization in her vicariate, because you work with Vicariate 6, right?
Yes, I do.
And for those who don't know our vicariate system, just want to give them a picture of kind of what area that is in the arch?
Sure. Vicariate 6 is vast,
yeah.
To say the least.
Mm-hmm.
It runs from 29th and Wabash, which is St. James,
okay.
Better known as St. James on Wabash, all the way to 229th and Torrance to St. James in Sauk Village.
Okay, that works.
So it's from St. James to St. James.
Okay.
So
it
encompasses, 61 parishes, mm-hmm. some shrines that are mm-hmm. thrown in the mix, and a couple of missions. So.
And what's your role as you work with all those parishes across that distance?
Well, I'm the Parish Vitality Coordinator for Vicariate 6, and so what I do, between myself and my colleague, mm-hmm. Juan Castillo, who is the Lifelong Formation Coordinator, we go into the parishes to identify needs and how we can help resource them. But of late, I have served as the consultant with parishes who are activated in Renew My Church. So I've been actively involved in two major mm-hmm. Activations, which was one was called the Stony Grove grouping, which consisted of the former St. Albie, St. Felicis, and St. Joachim, and they are now a new parish entity. The new parish name is St. Catherine Drexel. So that those three parishes came together as one faith community. They had their Unity Mass on December 30th, mm-hmm. and it was just an unbelievable experience.
And they've had quite the journey. I remember back when I started, you know, oh so long ago, about a year and a half, that was one of the first meetings I was in, was hearing you just talk about where you were at in that process. And it's mm-hmm. been quite the learning experience for me to hear you talk about how that is going for that grouping and what the process is and the role that you're playing with them.
Well, yeah, and it, you know, Renew My Church doesn't come with all of the directions that mm-hmm. you think we might, you know, might have. So there's a lot of improvising that goes on along with it. Sometimes we just have to change course. Sometimes we, you know, have to adapt depending on the community. Mm-hmm. With that particular grouping, though, those parishioners and those pastors of those parishes had been working together for almost 5 years prior to being activated. So they knew each other very well.
Okay.
Those communities really, you know, had bonded to a great degree because of their pastors, because of the leadership.
How much of an impact do you think that working together so closely for that period of time had on the Renew My Church process for them?
Well, you know, one of the major things that I found out about these pastors is that they actually, on Wednesdays, they would get together and work on their homilies together.
Oh, interesting.
And and then they would exchange pulpits, and mm-hmm. they mm-hmm. had revivals at the different parishes. So the people, you know, shared. There's this organization called the Knights of St. Peter Claver and the Ladies Auxiliary, mm-hmm. and they even shared the same courts. So, so there were different aspects of each parish that had some kind of involvement with the other.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them knew each other rather well.
Oh, that's good. It sounds like that might have been really helpful even for the parishioners as much as for the staff and pastors.
It was, but it was still difficult. It was still a challenge. And there was still a lot of sadness mm-hmm. and even some hurt because people love their places where they worship because they've had babies baptized there, they've had weddings in those places, they have been married in those mm-hmm. places, they've had the funerals of their loved ones. And so all of those things matter to people.
Of course,
and
yes.
so they can't be minimized that, well, you know, it's just a building. Yes, it's a building, but it holds a lot of memories.
As you accompany people and the kind of parish as a communal entity through this, how did you help people through processing and responding to that pain and fear and hurt that they may be feeling?
We prayed a lot.
Yes. I remember you talking about that. I was hoping you would bring that up.
Yeah. And we took it to prayer. Mm-hmm. I remember one night as we were going through the process, the discussions became very intense.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had to stop. We just had to stop and remember, why are we doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're doing it for the greater good of the worshiping community and for the community outside of these walls of the church. Because part of the mission imperative, you know, is that we are called to make disciples. We are called to build communities, and we are called to inspire witness. So you have to ask yourselves, how are we doing this? How mm-hmm. are we making disciples? You know, how are we doing that? Because if we're making disciples and we're building the community outside of these four walls,
mm-hmm.
because that is what we are called to do.
Right.
That is part of the Great Commission, is that we go and make disciples. And if we're not doing that, if we're not bringing people to Christ, then what are we doing? Are we just living and within these walls and only worshiping each other?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it boils down to, so how are we being an inspiration to people outside who don't know Christ?
Exactly. And I think that's part of our greatest challenge, because we do get comfortable, nostalgic, and we have so much lived memory in many of our communities, you know, that it's very, very hard to let go of or to think about how somebody who is from the outside feels as they approach our parishes.
Well, you know, the thing about memories, that's what they are. Mm. They never leave us. You know, there's a lot of things that I can remember from my childhood, mm-hmm. that, you know, it formed me into the person that I am today. And it's because of those memories that I am able to do some of the things that I do. So memories, you know, having memories, we need to embrace the memories just differently.
Right.
We just need to embrace them in a way that we can share those memories and those good times and even some of the painful times, mm-hmm. in that new place, that new home, that new space. And pretty soon you'll be making new memories.
Right. Definitely. How is the life of St. Catherine Drexel going now?
Well, I tell you, I smile when I think about it.
You did light up there as I asked you that.
You know, who would have ever thought, matter of fact, just a year ago, mm-hmm. We were making the announcement, mm-hmm. that the new parish would be located at the St. Albie site. And that the cardinal had accepted the recommendation. And to see it move to this point where it is now a new parish, mm-hmm. with a new name, mm-hmm. It's still at one of the sites of one of the former parishes, but it's breathing new life.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back for more conversation with Valerie Jennings.
I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. And know that I am with you always until the end of the world. Become people of spirit. It's time for us to become people of love. It's time for us,
it's time for us,
to know that Jesus Christ is risen. Forgives our sin and brings.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Supich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll show you how the Catholic Campaign for Human Development reaches out to people living on the margins. We'll take you to the UIC Pavilion, where more than 8,000 middle school students celebrated their faith at Holy Fire. And we'll introduce you to Deacon Freddy, who is on a mission to provide toys for needy children in Guatemala.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Hi, my name is Ramona. I'm a caseworker at Catholic Charities. I wish you could meet Craig, age 23, shot 3 times and homeless for 2 years before I met him. The more we met and I listened to him, the more he impressed me. We're working on his resume and job hunting. We're called Chicago's Good Samaritan, and you can be one too. Might you have a job for Craig and thousands of others like him? Join us at CatholicCharities.net.
Here's an important message about Catholic schools from Cardinal Blaise Supich and Loyola Ramblers Chaplain Sister Jean.
Sister Jean and I have something in common, a Catholic education, and we were both educated by the sisters.
It was the best education I could ever get, based on faith, values, and respect for people of all backgrounds.
Now the sisters are passing the baton on to us to make sure that all children have a chance at Catholic school education. A new tax credit scholarship program here in Illinois offers needs-based scholarships to non-public school students. But the scholarships need to be funded.
As you know, my scouting reports are quite good, And I can tell you that donors will get a 75% state tax credit. That's a win-win for you and for students who receive the gift of a Catholic education.
To find out how to donate, go to artschicago.org. Sister Jean and I thank you for supporting our Catholic schools.
Cardinal, that's a slam dunk.
I send you out.
Hello and welcome back. This is Jennifer Delvaux from the Office for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship, and I'm here with Valerie Jennings, who is the Parish Vitality Coordinator, and she works with the parishes specifically in Vicariate 6, from St. James to St. James, kind of on the more south side there along Indiana. Yep. So welcome back, everyone. And Valerie is just sharing with us the experience of one of the particular groupings and now parishes in her vicariate that has gone through the Renew My Church process and entered into the final phase, as we call it, the vitality phase, where we really focus on that. And that phase doesn't end, but it has some particular mission imperatives, and you mentioned those. How is St. Catherine Drexel starting to move forward with those?
Well, one of the things that we did to start bringing the community together is we had this process called the Ministry Implementation mm-hmm. Process. And we brought the three parishes together and asked them what ministries that they had, and try to get them to start merging and blending those members in those particular similar ministries. We asked them to identify the best mm-hmm. of, you know, mm-hmm. the best practices. And then, you know, what were the areas of opportunities that they, you know, needed to improve in? And then how, you know, how we could help, you know, as a department of vitality and mission to help resource mm-hmm. and to be supportive of whatever they were trying to at least modify or to change or to enhance. So, of course, you know, with bringing, you know, you've got the personalities that are there.
Oh, we all know about personalities, I'm sure, whether it's working in the church or working in an office.
Yes. Yep. So, you know, so everyone has their own unique style or blend of how mm-hmm. they think that their ministry and that their ministry was the best. But one of the wonderful things about this particular these three parishes that they all had in common was the spirit of hospitality. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything like it. And from simple things as greeting people when you first come into the church at Mass time or prior to, or mm-hmm. making you feel really welcomed. The spirit of hospitality flows through everything that they do, even with when a loved one passes away. Mm-hmm. There is an outreach component that they have, that they reach out to the family and kind of do some of that lifting that the family doesn't have mm-hmm. to do mm-hmm. or have to worry about, because it's all going to be taken care of. One of the things that I know that they're concerned about is how do we keep the people that we already have.
Right.
You know, because, of course, there's that sense of loss that some people may not have wanted to make that transition from Felicitas, Joachim, and to Albie, but now to the new St. Catherine Drexel. Some people, you know, they want to, like, let me take a look. Let me just check this out.
I'm gonna sample this first and see what I really think about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that the pastor, which is Father Paul Whittington, has said, just come see. Come mm-hmm. and see. And then when you come and see, bring someone with you.
Oh, okay.
So there's that spirit and that desire to they know that evangelization is like one of the key things that must be done, from evangelizing in the school, because mm-hmm. there is a school there. And St. Albie School will retain its name as St. Albie School.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So even just being in the school with the children, There's that opportunity to evangelize, even during, you know, like I said, when a loved one passes away, because that's the time when you capture, you know, the hearts and minds of some of those individuals who've maybe fallen away from the church. But it's done through a number of things, through the Knights and Ladies of St. Peter Claver. They do it through the choir, because there is some singing that goes on in that parish that can't help but lift your spirit. At the Unity Mass, my sister was visiting, and I took her to the Mass with me, and she said, "Oh, gosh, I have never experienced church like this, and I won't experience this when I go back to Madison, Wisconsin, either."
Oh, okay. I went to school there. So we want to pick apart a couple of the things that you mentioned there, but we're going to take a break first and come back to continue our conversation with Valerie Jennings.
I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. And know that I am with you always until the end of the world.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to CatholicCharities.net.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeteriesChicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. Every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Thanks for letting us be part of your morning. Now again, Catholic Chicago.
Welcome back. I'm Jen Delvo from the Office for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship, continuing our conversation with Valerie Jennings from the Department of Parish Vitality and Mission, who's the Parish Vitality Coordinator in Vicariate 6. So you mentioned a couple of really big ideas that I don't think we always give enough value to when we talk about being evangelizing and welcoming and this concept of Renew My Church. You know, we get so caught up in the structural changes or with the big things that we forget how many of the important parts are really foundational things that we dismiss as small. And one of those ideas is that concept of hospitality, you know, that we, every parish I think that I've ever worked with or walked into as a visitor, as a staff person, always tells me how welcome and hospitable they are. And yet so often you can walk in and not a soul talks to you. And, you know, you mentioned how hospitable St. Catherine Drexel is. How do you see them being hospitable? What is hospitality for that parish? And why do you see it as being so excellent?
From the moment that you walk in, there's two entrances. There's the entrance on Harper, and then there's the entrance right off of Stony Island.
Mm-hmm.
So they have greeters at both entrances.
Oh, that's so helpful. You know, I get so lost sometimes with all the yes. different parishes that I go to. Having people right there is a huge help to a visitor.
Yes, they have greeters. And the Stony Island entrance, of course, are, you know, all stairs. But if you need to have some kind of assistance, mm-hmm. then there is the lift that's on the other side, on okay. the Harper Street side. So people may not think of that as being hospitable, but it
oh,
is.
But it's so crucial.
Because if you have some physical challenges, mm-hmm. you need to be, and you want to come to church,
yes.
and you want to praise
yes.
God, you need to be able to have accessibility.
Right.
And so so they've taken that into consideration. Of course, you know, you once you're greeted, you're given some a form of worship aid.
Nice.
Prior to Mass, the choir is doing some kind of really nice, it's kind of warm and engaging song just to kind of get people ready
mm-hmm.
for Mass.
And wonderful.
It's, you know, it's a way of kind of getting your soul right with God before
oh,
you take on the feast mm-hmm. of what is going to be prepared for us at the big table.
Right.
You know, there's going to be some other tables that are going to have food later on. but I'm talking about the table of the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we prepare for that. Usually, you know, there are people that some people, of course, are, you know, taking that moment to be introspective and praying. And but there are ushers to escort you to your pew. And then once Mass starts, it takes on a whole life of its own because mm-hmm. the readers are well trained and the preaching is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I have not had a bad sermon there yet. And then the choir. So that's part of hospitality.
Okay.
That's part of
the
feast that you're coming there. You're coming to church to get a word from God, to get to be fed from the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you get that, and then you have some uplifting songs sung that are just that feeds your soul, and so it feeds your soul to the core. And
definitely.
That's hospitality to me.
And you know, I think
it's a form of evangelization.
It is, most definitely. And you know, I think I come at this a lot of times when I'm traveling, or you know, even just going to a new parish, because you know, I don't know much yet about Chicago. It's a large archdiocese, and I've only been here about 3 years now,
mm-hmm.
That, you know, you can walk into a church, and particularly if you're there by yourself, it can be one of the most isolating experiences,
yeah.
especially when you realize everyone else knows what they're doing, mm-hmm. knows how to go up for communion, knows the songs that are being sung.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything from having that greeting at the door to the ushers accompanying you to a pew to that worship aid, all those things make it a little bit easier and a little bit more like you're part of, you know, the family or that insider club that, you know, we can take for granted in our parishes and not realize
right.
that to the outsider coming in, that even though they might be a card-carrying Catholic, that it can be very challenging.
And that was one of that has been one of the challenges of the new parish, is because St. Albi worship site does not have kneelers.
Oh, so, I'm sure that created a bit of a ruckus with some of the different people involved.
It did, but when they had the Unification mm-hmm. Mass on December 30th, there were some people that actually just got on their knees on the
okay.
floor and kneeled down
yeah.
during the Eucharistic prayers. But then I think they're coming to terms with that, and there
right.
may be some adaptability later
right.
on. But, you know, it's still kind of like, let's wait and see if it still is something that people want. I'm sure that they will try their best
yeah.
to
yeah.
accommodate that, because that's hospitality.
Right. And this is a process. Renew
right.
My Church is a process. So we're going to continue this conversation right after this break.
Okay. On a mission of love, I send you out.
I send you out.
On a mission of love.
Did you know you could meet your goal of running a marathon and grow in your faith at the same time? Hi, I'm Sister Stephanie of the Mission of Our Lady of the Angels here in Chicago. Our mission has valuable guaranteed entries into the 2019 Bank of America Chicago Marathon. We'll get you training help, a race weekend support crew, and much more. And by joining Team OLA, you can help support the Mission of Our Lady of the Angels as we provide a Catholic presence and very needed outreach to the poor on Chicago's West Side. So run with me and the rest of Team OLA in the 2019 Chicago Marathon. We also will have a team in the Bank of America Shamrock Shuffle this coming spring. Visit missionola.com for more information or call 773-486-8431. That's missionola.com or call 773-486-8431. Thanks and God bless.
Hi, my name is Ramona. I'm a caseworker at Catholic Charities. I wish you could meet Craig, age 23, shot 3 times and homeless for 2 years before I met him. The more we met and I listened to him, the more he impressed me. We're working on his resume and job hunting. We're called Chicago's Good Samaritan, and you can be one too. Might you have a job for Craig and thousands of others like him? Join us at CatholicCharities.net.
Here's an important message about Catholic schools from Cardinal Blaise Supich and Loyola Ramblers chaplain, Sister Jean.
Sister Jean and I have something in common, a Catholic education, and we were both educated by the sisters.
It was the best education I could ever get, based on faith, values, and respect for people of all backgrounds.
Now the sisters are passing the baton on to us to make sure that all children have a chance at Catholic school education. A new tax credit scholarship program here in Illinois offers needs-based scholarships to non-public school students. But the scholarships need to be funded.
As you know, my scouting reports are quite good, and I can tell you that donors will get a 75% state tax credit. That's a win-win for you and for students who receive the gift of a Catholic education.
To find out how to donate, go to artschicago.org. Sister Jean and I thank you for supporting our Catholic schools.
Cardinal, that's a slam dunk.
I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out.
Welcome back. I'm Jen Delvo from the Office for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship, here with Valerie Jennings, Parish Vitality Coordinator for Vicariate 6. And we've been talking about the importance of hospitality and how wonderfully St. Catherine Drexel's is working on that, particularly as a crucial component to bringing together three different communities into one parish as they've gone through this Renew My Church process. But earlier, Valerie, you said something that really struck me, that in this you had those kind of holdouts who were a little hesitant to go to the St. Albie site, and the pastor said, come and see. But he didn't just say come and see. He said come and see and bring a friend. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a fascinating way to approach this, and not one that we always stress when we think about coming to try something as Catholics. And I think that's an absolutely crucial part of evangelization, and it sounds like it could also have been really useful for healing and growing together in Renew My Church. Right. Can you tell me a little more about how that played out?
You know, when you think about tasting something, mm-hmm. it's like taste and see. Mm-hmm. It's like going to it goes beyond taste of Chicago. You're tasting and seeing the goodness of God. That whole invitation, people sometimes just need to be invited and need to know and need to feel that they are welcome, that it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay to come and put your foot in the water and test it a little bit.
Right.
Because, you know, when if you've never had a bath before and you're trying to tell someone, you know, how, you know, good a bath is and how it relaxes you and makes you feel all wonderful, you might have to kind of introduce them to what bathing is.
Right.
And you put your toe in, and then you put your foot in, and then you put the other foot in, and then you finally, you know, immerse yourself into it, and then you just kind of let it kind of, you know, flow, the water flow
right.
over you. That's what I look at, you know, the invitation of, you know, come. Just come and see. You don't have to stay if you don't feel comfortable staying. But I want you, you know, one of the things he's so gentle about this is that I really want you to just check us out and just see. See if you like it. And he said, because I assure you that if you decide not to, mm-hmm. you're always welcome and we will welcome you back.
I think that's a really great point. You know, so often we want people, I think as Catholics, we want people to sign up that whole school year or, you know, here's your 15-week small group series using this resource or, you know, we want long-term commitment. And that's understandable because, mm-hmm. you know, we want to make sure that we have enough liturgical ministers. We want to make sure that we have enough catechists. And there's things that do need that. But particularly, I think, after significant change like this, or when you are inviting somebody who hasn't darkened the door of a church at all, or maybe a Catholic church in some years, that soft entry, that taste is so crucial.
Right.
And, you know, I love the kind of bring a friend method because I worked in youth ministry for 12 years. And, you know, the number of times I heard one kid turn to another kid and go, I'll go if you go, you know, is something that we don't lose as adults. We definitely don't say that. But, you know, I think when you make plans with someone else, it becomes a little harder to back out. And you have that safety net where even if you aren't necessarily enjoying yourself or even if you are intimidated by something, you kind of have that partner there to help you with the awkward moments or to help you find something that you might be looking for in that community. So I really like how the pastor highlighted that.
Yeah, the whole taste. Come and just see.
Yeah.
You know, and the way that he invites Father Paul Whittington is from the Order of Preachers. He's a Dominican.
Okay.
So he has that manner about him that makes he's easy to talk to and it's easy to you want to come and see. He makes you want to come and see. You know, when I'm watching him in his homilies and at the end of the service, the other thing that they do that is just so fantastic is that they sing happy birthday. They find out who has a birthday today or who has a birthday this week. Mm-hmm. So they wish people, they sing happy birthday to everyone. And then they try to determine, okay, who was married today or who's going to celebrate an anniversary this week. And then you have these people that stand up and they express how many years that they've been married. On the 30th, we had someone that was celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary.
Oh, how lovely.
So it was like, and then he does this blessing. Mm-hmm. So who doesn't want to be blessed?
And that's also such a gift to some of the younger individuals, you know, that you see people who can honestly been there, done that, you know, for decades. And you have younger couples that also can then maybe identify someone that if they're struggling with something, they could turn to or... You know, just the fact that there's hope when you're going through life.
That, you know, that these folks are celebrating the sacrament of marriage. Mm-hmm. And but there were many couples that were celebrating their wedding anniversaries or would be celebrating their wedding anniversaries during the week. Mm-hmm. And to have them stand up and declare, you know, I have been married to this man for 60 years. One person had been, another couple had said, 45. Mm-hmm. When you come to St. Catherine Drexel, you will be called out. And if you're a visitor, we have a visitor today. They'll recognize. So, yes, so get yourself ready.
Okay, I'll have to mentally prepare for that.
Yes, you
being a big introvert, everybody look at me in a room. I never enjoy that.
So, you know, he'll recognize the fact, this is someone different. It's welcoming the stranger.
And that's a beautiful thing. I want to continue this conversation, but we've got to take a bit of a break now, and we'll come back and continue talking with Valerie Jennings.
Well, it's time for us to become people of spirit. It's time for us.
Hi, my name is Craig. I was homeless for 2 years. Then I met Miss Ramona, a case manager at Catholic Charities. She found a place for me to live and is helping me with a resume and finding a job. I feel safe and away from the gun violence I know too well, having been a victim of it. The more I meet with Catholic Charities, the better I feel. They have changed my life. They're called Chicago's Good Samaritans, but to me, they are turnaround experts. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Cardinal Blaise Cupich speaks on behalf of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Now more than ever, it is important that we as a society recognize how poverty and injustice strip away human dignity. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development works with nonprofits, both faith-based and secular, to provide the vital support needed to promote systemic change in our communities.
To find out more about CCHD and to contribute, go to archchicago.org and click on Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Please join me as we work together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to fight poverty and ensure that everyone, especially those who live on the margins of society, participates in decisions that affect their lives, families, and communities. Now more than ever, we need the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Welcome back. This is Jen Delvo from the Office for Missionary Discipleship here with Valerie Jennings, Parish Vitality Coordinator for Vicariate 6. You know, we've been talking a lot about St. Catherine Drexel. There's many other parishes that are going through the Renew My Church process, but part of the reason why I'm so excited is that I get to go down to Catherine Drexel on the 26th. We're having one of our evangelization days and getting to experience a little bit of that hospitality. I understand the lunch and breakfast are going to be catered by parishioners who have a catering business. So I'm really excited to experience this. And if it intrigues you, all are welcome to the evangelization days. We have one at St. Francis of Rome in Cicero coming up this Friday in the afternoon or evening. And there's offerings there in Spanish and Polish in addition to English. There's also going to be one in St. Hyacinth Basilica on the 30th in the evening, offered in English and Spanish. And at St. Catherine Drexel on the 26th, which is a Saturday. So really an opportunity for those that might be working during the week and have a little more challenge getting to an event. And anyone's welcome. There's no cost. You can go to evangelizechicago.org to find the listing of events. We have a link on the Renew My Church Summit follow-up where you can see all of the information and click through to register. You can drop in, but the pre-registration really helps with the food. And
it does.
I have great expectations now for the experience at St. Catherine Drexel. But before we go, I want to ask you, Valerie, you've gone through quite the experience with these parishes and with the parishes that are just starting this process. For the individuals in the parishes, whether they're not activated yet or they're somewhere in this process of Renew My Church, what might be three quick, really crucial things that they can do for themselves and their parish community?
Get to know your grouping. All of our parishes are grouped together based on proximity, based on demographics. So if you don't know the grouping, you can always go to the Renew My Church site on the Archdiocese webpage and pull down that window on the Renew My Church. And then where it says groupings, you can find you can easily go to your vicariate and find the grouping that your parish is in.
Great.
If you don't know. If you do know, find, you know, there, I'm sure that there is going to be someone in some of those groupings that you already know, that you already have a relationship with. The other thing that I would encourage you to do, and parishioners out there to do, is don't fear the process. It's a journey. It's not just, you know, we can look at the structural piece all day long. We can always find some structural imbalances. But the key here is about how can we renew ourselves spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
It's about spiritual renewal.
It is, definitely.
It's not just about, you know, closing the doors, you know, of the churches. But it's how can we renew ourselves so that we are able to meet those mission imperatives mm-hmm. of building communities, making disciples, and an inspiring witness.
Definitely. A third piece of advice might be?
That, you know, stay prayerful.
Of course. I think we sometimes diminish that, but yeah, wrapping this in prayer as individuals and communities.
You have to stay prayerful.
Definitely. And I understand you actually have a prayer from St. Catherine Drexel to share with us.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And it's also kind of an invitation as mm-hmm. we were talking. So St. Catherine Drexel says, if we wish to serve God and love our neighbors well, we must manifest our joy in the service we render to him and them. Let us open wide our hearts. It is joy which invites us. Press forward and fear nothing.
That's absolutely wonderful. And I think that fear nothing as we go through change, because change can be so fear-inducing. But I love how she references joy and returning joy to God and joy to our neighbors, you know, as we go through this process. Mm-hmm. And I think as individuals, just in the culture today, that can be so challenging. Yeah. So any final words for our listeners on?
Well, you know, it's, you know, we may mourn for whatever we have, what we feel mm-hmm. we have lost, but joy comes in the morning.
That's one of my favorite scripture passages.
And some Psalms.
Yes, I know. I know. And I think I actually first ran across it when I read Anne of Green Gables way back mm-hmm. as a little girl. But, you know, I think we have to be okay with the darkness too.
Right.
And, you know, recognize that there is a time and a place for that. Mm-hmm. But when we wrap it in prayer, when we do rely upon God and trust the process and come together as community. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be one of the very challenging things, that not every parish and every neighborhood is as closely knit as others. And so this is a chance to really get to know one another and to get to know our God through one another.
Amen.
So I hope that as we've talked about this, that our listeners have gotten a bit of a better idea about an incredible parish community. And it sounds like you all should go and check out St. Catherine Drexel.
I think so.
And
take someone with you.
Definitely. And we would love to have you join us for those evangelization days. As I said, they're available in English, Spanish, and Polish. They're at different locations, St. Hyacinth Basilica, St. Catherine Drexel on the 26th,
yes.
And if you can get to St. Francis of Rome, then this Friday afternoon or evening. And so those are wonderful opportunities to get a little bit more information of kind of the big picture of Renew My Church and what we're talking about with the culture of evangelization. So thank you for listening.
Thank you,
Valerie, for
coming.
You're
welcome.
And may you go forth with joy and in prayer.
Amen.
On a mission of love, I send you out.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for Catholic Chicago. You can stream our programs live or listen to past programs by visiting our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV. And please connect with Catholic Chicago on social media.
To become people of spirit, it's time for us to become people of love.
It's time for us
to know that Jesus Christ is risen. Forgive.